you. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, Vietnam. You know, I try to pride myself on never missing a practice, never missing a game. It's a little bit different situation here this morning. My wife and I are heading to the airport on our way to hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas. So I'm not able to come to you with my pretty face. Chad was giving me a hard time because they couldn't see my pretty face here this morning. But I always want to be part of the program. My wife says, you've got some great guys on there. They can handle the show without you. I said, that's not the point. To come to practice. Everybody's got to come to practice. So we're going to crack open a few nuts for you today. Then we're going to spend the last probably 15 or 20 minutes of the show because I'm going to have to get off to get on an airplane. We're going to do a little bit of Friday prepping, a little bit more Friday prepping, even though it's only Thursday. We will broadcast to you live tomorrow from Dallas, Texas, at the Watchman Conference. And I appreciate you all tuning in out there. And you know, I know we've rattled some cages. I know we have. And I think that's okay that we rattle some cages. And in fact, I want to do something right now, Jared. I didn't really have you prepared for this. Pull up that video of me. It says "Don't Rock the Boat." I want to play this right off the start here, folks, because I've been hearing from people, not catching grief. That's not the right word. People hearing from folks wondering, you know, what do I do? In fact, bring it over. I'm saying to people, well, what do I do about my church and my pastor? I love my pastor, but he's not doing any of this stuff. He's not talking about this stuff. And, you know, people in our church aren't prepared and they're not ready. The last thing I want to do is come across as a pastor basher. Yesterday, we did a lot of that, you know, we just used the word. And that's not my intention. I'm trying to get us to bone up and do what needs to be done here. We're living in unbelievable times, and all we have to do is look out our window and understand there's some crazy stuff going on, and how does our faith apply to what's going on around us? So I want to play this quick little video. It's about 5 minutes. I did it, I don't know, just 4 years ago, called Rock the Boat or Don't Rock the Boat. And guys and girls, we got to rock the boat. If you love the people you go to church with, we got to start rocking the boat a little bit. And I think this little video I made, I mean, it hits it pretty good. Go ahead and play that thing, Jed.
Hi, folks. This is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at NewsWithViews.com, telling you that one of the greatest sins that you can do in America today is to rock the boat. That's right, baby. Don't rock the boat. Now, we live in such confusing times. We live in an era and in a time when people are taught through the whole idea of political correctness that you don't really say what's on your mind. That if you are getting ready to speak something, you always stop and think, who might be offended by me saying this? And there's no real liberty anymore to express what you really feel. In fact, it's a form of lying. We teach our children to lie through politically correct things. We teach ourselves not to say what really is on our mind. But more importantly, we find it in the business world where they tell you, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, pal. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think the boat needs rocked. And I think one of the first places that we need to start rocking the boat is in the comfort of that great big love boat that you ride in called your church. It's one of the worst places, you know. That's where some of the greatest control of lives of other people you will find is in a church setting. That the pastor in many churches is put on such a high pedestal that no one in that place is allowed to question anything the pastor says. Now, understand this. I'm a team player. My whole life as a football coach, I understand the importance of vision and loyalty and teamwork and sacrifice. I understand all of that stuff. But I learned when I found the Lord and came hard to Christ, I learned that the most important thing that you can do is to be honest. Integrity is the greatest value that you can have. And we have a responsibility. You and I have a responsibility, even in our churches, if we see things that are not kosher, we got to speak up. We got to rock the boat. In fact, once you do begin to speak up, and once you begin to make a little bit of waves, and to where that ride just not as that ride on that pew is just not as cushy as what it used to be, you'll find out that a lot of people, they begin to get seasick and they don't like it. And they say, "Stop rocking the boat. Stop rocking the boat, Coach." Some boats need to be rocked. I came to the realization a long time ago that I was going to stand before Almighty God and I was going to give an account, not only for things that I did, but for things that I didn't do. That I had a moral responsibility to speak up when I saw something was wrong. To be silent is to permit. There's no getting around it. But what's happened to us is we've reached the point where we are, the scriptures tell us in Proverbs that the fear of man is but a snare. And so as a result of that, we get our foot caught in a snare. We don't want to rock the boat, make people upset, and make people mad at us. So we just keep our mouth shut and allow that cruise ship to get off course. That's how we got where we are. You would admit it, wouldn't you, that many of our, many of our churches and many of our denominations are way off course. They've missed the one true north and where they're supposed to go. And why is that? Because nobody will rock the boat. In fact, what I see happening more than anything is people just quietly leave. They just quietly leave the church and hop from church to church to church. I understand. I've experienced it. I've done it. But I believe that we have an obligation. If you become a member, you become a joiner, you have an obligation to everyone in that church that if you see something that is not right, you have a moral obligation to speak about it in a biblical way. Go one-on-one, first of all. Take somebody with you when you go the second time. If they don't listen to you, take a couple more friends. If they don't listen to you then, you take it to a group of elders. And if they don't listen to you then you what? You expose it publicly to the church. That's what this scripture says to do. And what do most of us do? We slip out the back door, never to return, and allow others to be damaged by something that's not very good that's going on inside that church. You want to be a good Christian? Sometimes being a good Christian demands that you rock the boat. It's time for good people to stand up and be counted. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at news.
Yeah, rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. You remember that song, don't you guys and girls? Well, listen, we're in times when the status quo just isn't going to cut it. That's one of the things that we spoke a little bit about today, yesterday. One of the things I want to cover today. Ultimately, if you're in a church, you're in a Bible study, whatever group that you find yourself around, and you know that the people that are sitting around you do not understand what's going on. Now, they might be saved, they may love Jesus, they may read their Bible, but they have a very, very shallow understanding of what's going on around them. What's it going to be like when some calamity comes, something happens, and you're prepared and they're not? They look at you and say, "How come you didn't tell me? Hey, Weaver, why didn't you tell me? You mean this is going on and you didn't say anything about it?" And you say, "Well, you know, I didn't want to rock the boat. I talked to the pastor about it a couple times. God bless the pastors. But this whole idea of taking care of the body of Christ, this is a group thing, brothers and sisters. This isn't some guy grabbing you, put a leash around your neck and leading you around. You're supposed to be able to grow and become more prolific with your faith. That's what we're about." My wife's asking me something. Get off here, yes. So, for instance, what, Sarge, if you can jump in here real quick, Sarge, just tell some of the viewers here about you getting together with a few guys and showing them a video. And, folks, I want you to think about this a minute. You're out there, you're all by yourself, or you're in a church, and you see what's going on, but everybody thinks you're crazy. Well, find some people. Begin to rock the boat, find some people, and then begin to present them some evidence. Sarge, share with us, if you can, brother, what you did up there in Maine.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I had been invited to meet with a bunch of folks that had a small little church that they started on their own. And so I showed up last Saturday, and what I did is I had downloaded one of the shows. In fact, it was last week's show with Russ Dizdar. And what I did is we just teed up the show. We watched it for an hour, and we went into sort of a question and answer. I read a little bit out of Ephesians 2 because it related to the show. And then we did a prayer. It took us about 2 hours to do it, but it was great. And, you know, it's like, even though I didn't have a prepared discussion, the discussion flowed by itself just because of the questions that got asked. And I was able to answer most of them. It's as simple as that. People are so hungry out there, and every one of these guys had left the denominational church because they weren't being fed in the churches, and there's a lot of them out there. And that's why this weekend, while we're down in Dallas, I'm going to guess we're going to see 400 or 500 people who are going to raise their hands when someone asks, and maybe Coach will ask, how many of you have left the denominational church because you aren't getting fed? And there's a lot of them out there.
There are a lot of them out there. And here's one of the things that you get that you have to overcome, folks. Listen now, listen. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Well, I'm going to tell those of you who've been part of this program now for, you know, we've been doing this a while. I don't know how long some of you have been connected to it. Some of you are watching it a couple, three, four times a day. I'm sorry, four times a week. You are so far ahead of other people. And one of the things that you have to begin to be able to do is you don't have to, listen, you do not have to present the evidence yourself. That's what YouTube's all about. That's what the internet's all about. Let other people present the evidence for you. Now, you think about what Sarge just did. If you were going to sit around with a bunch of guys who really didn't understand what's going on, and they listened to Dizdar, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the questions that those guys would have? But see, you don't have to be able to answer every one of the questions that they have. Present the information and then give them the ability to search it out on themselves. Because, guys, listen, part of the problem that we have in Christianity is everybody has to be fed. When are we going to learn to feed ourselves? Physician, heal thyself. When are we going to be able to become inquisitive enough to say, you know what? I'm going to check that out. What were the Berean Christians? The Berean Christians searched the scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was the truth. And so this whole idea of helping our brothers, if they really are our brothers, and we really do care about them, then we have to begin to try to put the evidence in their laps. Now, I know guys that are sharing these videos. I know a lot of people that got a big email list that they shoot them out to. You know, here's the truth. A lot of people aren't going to watch an hour video. They probably aren't. But maybe you could shoot out part of the video and say, hey, listen, specifically, I know you don't have time to watch the whole show, but hey, specifically watch the from 38-minute mark to the 42-minute mark. People will do that kind of stuff. And part of our job is to wet their whistle, to get their appetite flowing for the truth. And remember this, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. I can't tell you the number of times that I get up in the morning, come down to do a show, and here's what happens, fellas, guys and girls. I'm telling you, sometimes when I prepare on a show, although I've got some, you know, I've given Jared some links and some different things like that, brother, when that on the air light goes on, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit comes. And sometimes we go directions that I never intended on going, merely because of a question somebody asks, a comment somebody makes. See, this idea, again, that one person is the teacher and everybody sits around at his feet and learns from him. No, one person has to be a facilitator. I'm a facilitator this morning. I'm not a teacher, although I do teach. I'm facilitating this thing that we're having here. And I keep getting bugged all the time because why? My buddy Chad, has got all this information that he wants to get out. Chad, I'm not making fun of you. You're bugging me in a good way. Say, Coach, man, they need to know this, and they need to know this, they need to know this. So rather than me having to study up on it, right, I don't have time to study up on it. I say, okay, Chad, you've got 15 minutes. Give us what you got for 15 minutes. And each one of us are equipped with a multitude of different gifts to be able to do this. And that's why I talk a lot about building a downline and all that kind of stuff. Listen, folks, tell them what you know and don't tell them what you don't know. Say that again, because to me, that's become the key. Tell them what you know, but don't tell them what you don't know. And you start getting into the rest of the door, some of the stuff that we're going to go down here today and down in Dallas, some of the stuff we're going to get into. I'm going to tell you, I don't know some of this stuff. I don't know. I'm going to go down. I don't know. I'm going to hear Dr. Michael Lake start talking about some stuff. I'm going to scratch my head and say, what? But it's going to whet my appetite, and then I'm going to dig into it, and I'm going to search for the truth and let the Holy Spirit guide me into all truth. Because the teacher, the person who's standing in your pulpit, can only give you what he knows. And if some things that he doesn't know that his eyes haven't been opened to, he can't give it to you. But that doesn't make him a bad guy. It doesn't make him an evil pastor. He doesn't know. And so part of the rocking the boat thing that I started out with, that's what it's about. We got to rock the boat. Now, listen, I'm coming close up here into the airport, so I'm going to have to get off. I got a little, Jared, I'm changing plans. I was going to go to John 10:10. I got a video there, Jared. It's called Home, I think it is. Hey, guys, I think this is a perfect illustration, perfect lead into what Chad's going to take over and talk a little bit about prepping, because I know a lot of people don't like to talk about prepping. But this little video, it's a 10-minute trailer, and it's entitled Home. And all it is calamity hits, and these people are trying to get home. They're just trying to get home. They were out somewhere. They were at the shopping center. We don't know where they were, but all of a sudden something happens, and they're trying to get home. And it's pretty profound. It's about 10 minutes, and then after this plays, and I'll be running to get on the airplane. Chad, whoever you guys got set up, take it from there. So, Jared, pull that up there for us. It's entitled Home. It's about 10, maybe 12 minutes. I can't remember. So watch it, because it's really, really profound. Any one of us could find ourselves in a situation where we have to get home.
Supplies have been completely wiped out. Evacuation of all counties. I report complete devastation.
Reese, be careful. We're just passing through.
I know where we are. All right. Anybody got any comment on that? Oh, we got Chad in here. Yeah, Sarah, go for it. You're muted.
Well, that's why when I lifted up my bag, you should always have certain things with you on your person. Even if you commute by train or by or anything, you know, have matches, have a pocket knife, male or female. There was a time when men would not be caught dead without a pocket knife. You know, little. You know, if somebody stops you, gee, why do you have that? Oh, to sharpen a pencil. You know, a handkerchief. Carry a handkerchief with you because that can also then go over your face or of the face of a child. I wrote over here also, women, if you have on a brassiere, which most do, you can use the cups. If you have that little pocket knife, split it in half. And if it's padded, all the better because it'll help filtrate. It's the right size, be you man, woman, or child. And it'll help you breathe, especially like Kevin said on the side, if it was volcanic ash, it'll help filter out those little tiny glass particles, because that's what volcanic ash is. It's tiny little glass. But, you know, just a few little things to keep with you. And like on your person, like women, carry a small, tiny pocket knife. Carry a handkerchief again. Just little things, because that can also then be used as filtration of water. If you're in your car, carry a bag. Have a way to make a fire, which Chad is going to talk about later. Have a space blanket. You can get those so dirt cheap on Amazon, like maybe $1 each. They're very thin. They're one use. It's nothing like the best that are out there, but they're good. You know, just as we go on, Chad will give more information, and over the weeks there will be more information too. But I'll step down, let someone else talk.
Yeah, there we go. Chad's coming in.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that information, Sarah. Hello. Good morning, everyone. I just want to also start off again. I just want to kind of touch on what we talked about last time. Kind of get a quick review, get you back in the game here, get your thinking caps back on. So take the tinfoil hats off and put the thinking caps on, okay? So last time we talked about four particular ways that we're going to look at why we need to prep and why we need to make ready an epidemic, a financial collapse, a grid down scenario, or a red dawn scenario. Any four of those, of course, they can break you all out, can branch out to multiple things. We kind of break it down here to kind of streamline it. This one here that we saw with this, I would say I could file this one as maybe a volcanic eruption or a nuclear fallout. It could be an epidemic or a grid down or a red, you know, any one of those scenarios could have been tied in right here to this movie. Fair enough. So one thing I want to talk to you about today, we've already discussed about food. Now you've gone and gotten your food, I trust, in the last week or so. You've gone and make an investment in yourself and your family. Because what I'm trying to sell you here, ladies and gentlemen, is not prepping. It's insurance. You have car insurance. You have house insurance. You have health insurance, for Pete's sake. And you probably pay those things every month, and you never have to use them, chances are. Meanwhile, the information that I've given here is truly life insurance, because it will save your life. It will. You will use what the things we're talking about here today. The skill sets, the food, the water, the security are all things that we're going to touch on. So, Jared, I sent you some information. If you can go ahead and pull that up there now and make it nice and big so folks can see it. We've got about three different types of ways of making a fire. There's a lot of different ways out there that we can make fire, but we're going to narrow it down to these three right now. We're just going to kind of get you started on that, because most people can get these things very readily. There's not a store that you don't go into that doesn't have these things. Okay, so we'll start off real simple. With the first one is a lighter, correct? Is that what we got on there, Jared?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to get, trying to get my notes here. Okay, so we're going to get a lighters and buy as many of them as you can. Because remember, they're cheap. But remember, they're cheap. Because they might break because they're cheap. But you need a lot of them. And you can afford to buy a lot of them if you can. You know, they got in those packs, you can buy three or four, six of them for $2 or $3. You know, for the price of a cup of coffee, you can buy a three-pack of these big lighters out there, all right? So that's real simple. So you have that, and you can put leave one in your glove box in your car. Put one in your purse. Put one, you know, somewhere that you're going to have it in your everyday carry bag. Just have these things all over the place. That way you need to go to it and try to make sure that it stays dry. You might also, the next thing that you're going to need for that, another technique is the, what's that next one I got on there, Jared? I forget.
Matches.
Which one?
Matches.
Matches. Okay. Like those blue tip matches. Now those, they can get wet. They can, all that kind of stuff. A lot of the people, they buy, you go out and they spend all this money on these fancy matches. Well, those fancy matches are just wax tipped. So if you have a candle or something like that, and you can dip those in there, and that'll preserve that sulfur that's on those matches. So having some of those box of matches, I mean, get those nice ones. I like those blue diamond ones. Really nice, real nice thick wood, and that really good strike on that. And you can put those in a Ziploc bag, or you can do a bag sealer, and that'll keep all the moisture and stuff out of those. So again, put those again, keep it in your vehicle, keep it in your everyday carry bag. Have a place like Pastor Wayne was talking about. They've got a lights out kit, a tote or whatever. And have these items in there. I mean, there's no need for you to stress out and when things go south on you, even if it's just something minor. So the next one I have is the fire steels or the magnesium strips. Now, the fire steel is probably the best thing going out there as far as making fire. It'll almost always spark. And the magnesium strips, what you'll have to do is you'll have to get close to it and you scratch some of that magnesium off and then you roll that over and then you strike it and then that magnesium will catch fire onto your tinder that we're going to talk about here down the road. Has there any questions so far from anybody got any comments? Okay, moving right along. All right, so now that we've got our three fire items picked out. Now those lighters, you know, like I said, you can get a bunch of those for a couple of dollars. The box matches, again, a couple of dollars a box. Then you're looking at the fire steel, which is probably $5 to $8 to $12. Okay, get it, but you're going to get several thousand strikes off that unit. There's some they're varying prices. And none of these are going to put you having to go out and get a second mortgage on your house to go get any of these items, okay? So, and then the magnesium strips, I mean, you can buy them anywhere. They got them at Lowe's. They have them at Dollar General, for Pete's sake. You can get any of these items anywhere. And the reason they run about $1, $1.50. They're not very expensive at all, but they're priceless when the circumstances render you don't have any electricity or anything, okay? So we're going to move into now to how to make a fire, what items we want to cover, we want to think about how we want to assemble it. Yes, we've all barbecued, I'm sure, so we just, you know, put the lighter fluid on there and we throw a thing on there. Well, we don't have any lighter fluid in this scenario. So we're going to think about nature. We're going to think, how does nature do things? Well, we're going to think about a bird. So a bird's nest. So we're going to think about a bird's nest. So we want to gather all the products that a bird would acquire to make their own nest. And that's the things that we want to gather to make our little nest so that we can make our little tinder fire. So we want small things, cotton balls, little strips of clothing, real fine graded, things like that. Make sure that those items are dry. That's the key also on the fire, is make sure they're dry. You watch these episodes on TV like Naked and Afraid and all these, they're out there. And they can't make a fire because there's some moisture on all the wood that they're selecting. You know, it's poor wood selection or just circumstances render that they can't get it. So you're going to be at a loss there until you can find some actual dry tinder, which you can incorporate into making your fire. So you want to try to find that stuff that you can make a bird's nest with, of really small, fine twigs and things like that, real false, small things. Now, once you have that, you can begin using your lighter, your fire steel, your magnesium strip, or your matches, and you can initiate a fire on there on your bird's nest. And once you get that going, then you can begin slowly to add in a little bit bigger sticks, slowly. But the key is, folks, you got to be patient. You got to be patient. If you rush these fires, they'll go out. They have no loyalty to you. They have no loyalty to you. So when we're lighting the fire, we also want to guard it. So we want to let minimal wind in there, and we want to utilize our wind. We want to breathe on that fire if need be. But we want to cover it. We want to guard it because fire is life. Fire is life. It's protection. It's everything. You know, civilization didn't begin to grow until there was fire. That's how important it is. So you have all the threes, the 3 minutes without air, the 3 days without water, and the 3 weeks without food, and the 3 minutes without hope. But then the next thing is fire. It's that important. So being able to master these techniques, these are so simple that you could make application on it. Please take advantage of YouTube and go on there. And if you're lacking some confidence on how to do some of these matters, please go on YouTube, search out these items, these things on how to do it, and get some education. There's a lot of knowledge out there, a lot of information. Any questions or any comments? Anybody else want to pipe in here?
Yeah, I think Sarah, you had a comment about the lighters. What was that?
Yes. Some of the cheaper lighters, you have to be careful because the lighter fuel will eventually evaporate out. So after three months or so, it'll start to go. So that almost is, it's good if you're going to need them right away. But like food, they need to be rotated. And nowadays, you can't see how much fuel is in there. So,
yeah,
you know, so you got to be careful with the cheap ones. But what you can do is buy a Bic. Bic is more expensive, yes, but you can get packages of three. They will last tremendously longer. But once again, it is not completely sealed. The gas will leak out. And when you have your done. Okay, one other thing. If you're getting a larger Bic lighter or cheaper lighter similar to Bic, wrap some duct tape on it on one, you know, like about 4 or 5 feet. On another one, wrap some wire, you know, like maybe a 22 gauge copper wire, you know, something small, because the duct tape in a pinch is good for holding things together. You can make it into rope to tie things together, such as a quick little shelter. And a lot of people won't want to hear it, but the wire would be good for a snare for making food. So those are things that you might want to think about too, to put on. It won't take up any more space than your lighter and only add a little bit of weight to your pack. So,
well, one of the things also that I have and I keep in my pack that I have in my vehicle that I drive when I'm there is a Zippo lighter, and those are the most awesome lighters they can have. But the problem is the fuel on those again. Okay, anything that requires kind of fuel is gonna set you back. And that's why eventually you've got to get that skill set where you can use some of these advanced techniques, or I'd say the older techniques of a bow drill and those kind of things. We'll get into that later on. But
yeah,
today we're trying to cover the simple things that you can do, just an everyday thing that anybody can go and get these things and have these right there close to you, and then also learn how to be able to effectively light a fire. Now, I'm just surprised by the amount of people that really can't get one started. So it's not as easy as it looks, you know. But it's not rocket science either. Okay, so let's not kid ourselves at the same time. But also, I just want to remind folks that I'm gonna deviate here just a little bit. Remember, though, if you only have $30. If you only have $30, let's say you only have $30 this week to do something, okay? The Sawyer bottle water filter,
yes,
is what I recommend to you, okay? It's yep. 100,000 gallons is what they say. You may not get that much. Let's say you only get 20,000 gallons out of it. There's not another filter on the market that can give you that. There's not another one out there. $25 at your local place. Academy is where we are here in Texas. Academy, but any one of those big box stores, sporting goods places, they'll have that in there. They get you a pack of lighters. And also, when we're talking about fire, we're talking about ways of making a fire easily, is a big pack of cotton balls and a jar of Vaseline. Now, if you can take these cotton balls and you can put it down in the Vaseline, and you can light that on fire, and that's a great fire starter right there, and that'll give you an advantage there and more time to be able to get that bird's nest activated, and then those twigs, and then move on up to the sticks, and then move up to your big logs, and pretty soon you've got a raging bonfire out there of a lot of things. So I also encourage anybody, if you have any questions, Coach Dave and the gang have set up an email for me. That's Texas@Salt and Light Brigade. So I'm on there. If you have any questions, Texas, yes.
Dad?
Yes, Roger.
What about, are flares of any use in fire building and so forth?
Well, yes, I would say, of course they are, but I guess they're limited on that. You know, they would, it's a one-shot deal on those flares. Plus, over time, I don't think that they hold up over time. The humidity depends on the climate that you're in, too, Raj. Flare gun. I've seen them flare gun where they shoot it into their pile of brush. You know, look, your best thing that you have going for you, folks, is your knowledge. Again, we talked about mindset last time. You got to get your mind right. You got to anticipate what's coming on. And you get that by exposing yourself to the elements. You expose yourself to YouTube. You watch as many videos about these things as you can. Again, I'm not trying to – it's not fear porn I'm pushing. It's insurance. I'm an insurance salesman. Sarah, you got anything? Roger.
No, I'm
sorry. I was just looking up for the Sawyer and put that on the side. Walmart, online does carry a Sawyer for $19.95. And as Chad was saying, That's what we use. It's a lot better than Life Straw. It's a lot better than the cadence, the pump action that you can get at backpacking stores. It will fill into a soda pop bottle. You just screw it on top and it has like a bag on it. You squeeze the bag, it goes through the filtration and you have clean water. You don't have to bend and sip out of a puddle like Life Straw, you know, but Sawyer is really good.
Yes. Yeah, I think hands down, Sawyer is the best on the market. Were you going to say something, Jared? Sorry.
I just had a question concerning fire.
Okay.
What you guys are saying, there's strengths and weaknesses to each thing. What would be your number one recommendation for the longest lasting, most reliable fire starter?
Here.
That's easy.
I'll give my mine first. It's only because a fire drill, anything you can do with your hands. I think friction fire, work on a bow drill, work on a pump drill, work on a hand drill, or a push friction fire. That is the best in my opinion, but other than that, that takes a lot of time and practice and a lot of blisters on the hands, because you can go out into the woods and just about start a fire anywhere. But the next, I think, is the ferrocerium rod. But that's, I'm done.
That's great. That's a great answer, and I can appreciate that. We need to realize that, look, what we're trying to offer you, ladies and gentlemen, is Sarah's got more bushcraft, and I got more urban craft.
Yes.
Because I'm suburban with urban. So, because we got a mixed audience. We got people in New York. We got people in Washington. Got people in Louisiana, Florida, Colorado, Utah, Ohio, Illinois, all over the country. So, look, the climate's changed and different everywhere. And so we're trying to reach as many people as we can. We're not going to be able to hover on the topic, for very long, but we're trying to at least try to touch on it. I like stuff like the Swiss strike steels. That's what I like. Or the magnesium strips. Those are the things that I like. I'm not opposed to the bow drills or anything like that, but if I'm in town, I might not be able to have that and be able to cut that, the board and all that kind of stuff, you know? So, look, you have to be flexible. You have to be adaptable. What I tell people at work, be flexible or be frustrated. You've got to use a thinking cap on and be adjusting to the circumstances. So if you move out of town, on foot or whatever, okay, you need to be able to use the resources where you are. If you have to move from out in the bush into town, then you're going to have to be able to adjust to your climate. No matter where you are, you have to be adapting, improvising, and adapting at all times. I recommend, I didn't give a plug on it last time, that book by Holly Deo. That is an excellent book. That's an excellent book. Dare to Prepare. I've got that book. I've also got some military manuals and all that kind of stuff. You just can't have enough. What I'm hoping to get to with this series on Continue On and Going is each time we're going to try to do a review, and then we're going to do some security and camp operations next time. That's what I'm thinking of next time. So
when it comes, Chad, not everybody's going to be able to be in a position to use this, but it's good knowledge to have in the back of your head, is especially in damp environments, swamps, rainforest, in places where it's really difficult to find some really dry tinder. I had one time I hadn't needed to get a fire built and just wasn't having any success at all. But I did have a weapon and some ammunition with me, and you just take a couple of pieces of wood or something and you hold the tip of that one round of ammunition and wiggle that shell until you can get it loose. And then you just pour out your gunpowder and put that by your tinder. It will help dry it out and get it started.
That's free experience right there, Larry. That's priceless. I knew that, but I've never done that, and I've heard of that before, but You know, that's a look. You just used your thinking cap there, didn't you?
It wasn't a survival situation. I was out in the middle of the jungle on my own, and and had to sit there for another 8 or 9 hours before anybody else was coming back through. And I wanted a cigarette, and I left my lighter back at base camp. So I had to find a way to start a fire and light me a cigarette. And then to get the spark, I just put a tracer round in the M60 machine gun and fired one shot, and that tracer round started that gunfire off, that gunpowder amongst the tinder, and I mean, fire real quick.
Well, also, if I can say one more thing here before I kind of wrap up my part of it, is that we need some donations. The coach is sending, I think we bought 20 tickets to try to send people to these conferences. We're helping out people across the country. We're still going to these events, and we're sending teams. We're representing God's ministry. We're doing God's work out here. We're trying to recruit strong people. We're trying to become the remnant. We can't do that without your funding. So I've deviated all of my funds that I was sending to my church over to the huddle. That's what I'm doing, because this is where I'm getting the benefit from. This is why I'm, you know, I took what Coach said to heart, and I'm just asking you folks, whatever you can send, he needs it. I know he needs it. And all of it, 100% of it goes back towards the ministry, as far as I know. So these guys, I love every one of them. I call it every time we go to one of these things, it's church camp for adults. And it's just amazing. The fellowship is priceless. The fellowship is priceless. And I'm just honored to be with all of them. And I appreciate Coach just giving me the opportunity to reach out to, to you guys and, to listen and learn, So that's all I've got, Jared.
Hey, Chad. Chad?
Sir.
One thing we do, and Jared, you could help, is look up his address or his email to where people can send. Dave does not ever ask for much. I've known him a long time. He won't ask for anything. I appreciate you letting the need be known. So, Jared, whatever you can do, just from a standpoint of email address or mailing address or how to do it on the air, would be greatly appreciated for those that may be listening and don't quite know where to send money. I mean, I know it's easy to get to, but it's nothing's easier than having it live while we're talking in the morning.
If you guys to donate to Coach and to support the ministry, all you got to do is you go to this website right here, coachdavelive.com/donate, and that's pretty much it. And when you donate, that'll go straight to Coach. And then he does things. He's paid for my expenses going onto some of these trips. He's paid for my gas, and he'll pay for lodging and things like that to get people on the ground to support God's work. And it's really an amazing thing to see, honestly. I mean, you guys know when we went down to the feminist parade in Washington, Coach helps as many people as he can to get there. And then we end up having great conversations with people and yelling at people and sharing the gospel with people. And it's life-changing for us and for them. So, anyway, so we got 3 more minutes. So, Chad, could you just reiterate real quick what we can do this week to be prepared to start a fire?
Okay. For this week in review, 1, if you haven't got that Sawyer water filter, please do not delay. Get one of those at least for your whole family, but it'd be better if everybody had one. 2, buy you a few packs of those Bic lighters or those magnesium strips or those Swiss Army steel strikes. That would be great too. Get you some cotton balls and sit down with a Ziploc bag and a jar of Vaseline, and scoop up some of these cotton balls and throw them into your Ziploc bag, and then you want to put that in all your everyday carry. Put that, again, right there with your stuff in your glove box that's in your car to do that. And then get your mindset ready. And then go on YouTube and look up, like, Southern Prepper 1. He's got some videos. There's the Maine Prepper. These guys, there's a lot of guys on there that are talking. There's another one, the Serious Survivor. That's a new guy I found on the YouTube. No plugs there. And they've got a lot of information on there, a lot of things that will spark your thought process. See, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. So you have to get your mind right. Again, we're going to keep talking about that, your mindset, because men's hearts will fail them for fear. But there's got to be some pretty scary stuff to come my way to make me have a heart attack and die. Okay, so we need to get your mind right, because how can you occupy folks if you're not prepared? Prepared in the spirit with the body of Christ, prepared physically with your preparation, and prepare your mind for your experiences. If you're unable to walk, if you're unable to, your body condition is not peak, don't worry about it. You know, start out. You know how to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. Get out there. We need to start getting in shape. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Chad and Sarah and everybody. All right. So Coach will be on tomorrow morning. He's going to be airing from Dallas, Texas. And a lot of the huddle guys are going to be there as well. So hopefully over the next week, we'll have some good videos coming out. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.